And good afternoon, Atlanta. It is noon on a Tuesday, and as always, Matt Gardner here with Everything Atlanta. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well, man. Good to be working with you again. Gorgeous day outside, and beautiful. I can't wait to interview this gentleman. This is going to be a fun conversation.
It is going to be a good conversation. I apologize. We were running around the parking lot trying to find this building.
Well, that's
and of course,
my fault.
It's the last. No. It's of course the last one we pull up to. So Danny is coming up the elevator as we speak. He'll be here in just a second. But you know, since Saturday, Stone, this Occupy Atlanta business, what is going on with these guys? Well, I mean, I heard a couple of interviews on the radio of some of these, I guess they're protestees or they're standing up for something, but you can't get a clear answer from the people out there on the street. So I want to open up an invitation. I hope this is okay, Stone. I want to open up an invitation to Everything Atlanta for any of the protesters, any of the coordinators of this protest. I want to have them on the show, Stone. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think it sounds great. I think it's a marvelous idea. I can't wait to have. If they could just give me some inkling, what is the
what
end game? What's the objective? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, exactly. I mean, they, you know, I think what Saturday night, about 24 of them ended up going to jail. I think you saw the video footage of the guy pushing the police officer off the bike, and he had to stay in jail till Monday. And, well, I mean, I'd love to know. I mean, because it's obviously capturing the media attention. And I want to open up an invitation to anybody out there. Just send us an email or go to the website, everythingatlanta.businessradiox.com. Fill out the form, and we'd love to hear from you. Danny, what do you think about all these protesters sitting in Piedmont Park or wherever they're hanging out?
Well, Matt, the problem is they have been wronged. They've been wronged to the core of their spirit. We've destroyed their hope, their future. We've taken it all away from them, and so I think they have a right to live in tents and not spend my tax dollars. And so I'd love to talk to him about that.
Yeah, I think obviously you could hear the sarcasm in Danny's voice. So we would love for somebody to sit across this table from us. Any given time, we'll meet you up here on any Tuesday at noon just to put you on the radio, ask some questions.
How dare a bank give a student loan out? I mean, what were they thinking, Stone?
Who's going to pay for that?
And for me to ask them to go to college as I did. And Stone, did you make it through a year or two?
You know, I finally did. It took me a while.
Did you?
Yeah, I was on the slow plan, but I made it through.
Well, you've got a little student loan there, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, go down there and get a tent.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay it. Buy a tent. Don't pay your student loan. Just
don't
go get
shave
a tent.
And go down there and yeah. protest against
yeah.
that.
There
so.
You go.
But I've been watching this thing unfold here for the past 72 hours, and it's just... You know, obviously it's starting to, I think there, somebody told me today that there were somebody up in Snellville sitting in the park protesting against the things that are going on up there. So I would love to hear from somebody who understands what they're protesting again. So the invitation is open, and we'll see if anybody fulfills that. But more importantly is today's show.
Hey, if I were going to put a tent up, I would put it on a golf course. That's where I would put it.
I'm going to go protest that I don't get to play enough golf.
Yeah, I could have been a professional golfer had I have raised a tent 20 years ago
yep.
when I was young.
And just sit out there and protest mm-hmm. against high green fees. Mm-hmm. That's what we then now we're getting to somewhere.
Yeah.
We can protest against high green fees. And I've three-putt a lot, Danny. I don't know about
you.
Do you
really?
I do.
It could be your putter, Matt.
It could be my putter because Danny and I, we do play a little bit of golf. We like to get out there and enjoy the golf courses around Atlanta, and there's a lot of golf courses around Atlanta. That's one of our favorite clients has golf courses all over the Southeast that we go out there and represent those guys on social media and play in some fun places over the past this past summer. What's one of your favorite places to go hit, Danny, here in Atlanta?
Well, you know, I always enjoy Brookfield. That is kind of our home course. That's where we've made our stay. We haven't taken the trophy home yet, but I'm sure that we're just a year or two out from doing that. But one of my favorite courses to just go hit around is Alpharetta. I do enjoy that course. I like the par fives. I like going into the water on nine and, you know, going over the water there to the green. And that's a fun course. And again, that's one of our clients' courses. So it's fun to have that availability. But, you know, to talk about golf and this is going to be one of my top 1% of the shows today is we are talking golf today. We're going to be talking to a gentleman, Mr. Lee Thomas. Lee, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Lee makes putters. How cool is that?
It's very cool. I'm sitting there flipping through some pictures. And these aren't your traditional what's in my bag. I guess I can put it that way. And first and foremost, for the listeners out there, so they can follow along with us, where could they go online to see some of the stuff that I'm looking at?
At LeeThomasStudios.com.
Okay, LeeThomasStudios.com. And talk to me and Danny a little bit about what's going on here. We've got some, hopefully it's okay to call them non-traditional looking putters. Talk to me about these things. How are they made? Where are they made? Do you make them? Fill us in on these neat looking things.
Well, I've done this for a hobby for about 15 years. And then earlier this year, I got some of my artistic friends together and said, let me show you how I did this. Let's make them better. And so with their help, we've put together Lee Thomas Studios, and we're making these putters out of rare and exotic woods or historical woods or wood that people have.
Lee, to give our audience, I just want to try to draw them a picture, maybe kind of paint them a picture of what I'm looking at here. With he's brought in probably a flip chart here of about 20 different putters he's made. Not gorgeous, wouldn't give this credit. They remind me of a putter my dad gave me. It's a Louisville-made putter where they're using wood. Wood is probably, what, 80%, 90% of it?
About.
And then you have an inset on the face. What are your insets made of? What are those?
Well, what we do is just use wood as a casing instead of metal.
Okay.
So it has to be weighted. The putter needs to weigh to function properly around 330 grams.
Okay.
And so a head just made out of wood would weigh approximately 112 to 120 grams, depending upon the density of the wood. So we have to fill it with a heavier material. We prefer to use lead.
Lead, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now the face, the strike face, is an epoxy resin material, which has a shore D hardness of 78.
Okay. Who would be a popular brand, a guy you'd go to the PGA Tour store and buy from that uses that composite on the face? Is it an Odyssey type composite? Is it
several. There's most all your big name brands will have either a metal face or a composite face, or they're trying to go with a softer face. Really, it's got to be fairly hard in that range.
Okay.
The resin we use is for a golf club, and so that gives us the proper hardness. People will tell you that it has a sound to it, and they'll confuse the feel of the sound that it makes when it hits the golf ball. So if it has a clicker sound, they think, well, it's hard.
Okay.
But, it's just something that we've come up with by trial and error.
Really?
And to use.
So you've been doing making these here since 1997 in a home workshop, it looks like.
Yes, sir.
Give us, how did this moment lead up to where you wanted to start making golf putters?
I had always been around woodworking. My father had a furniture store. My father and my uncles, my granddaddy made things in a woodworking shop. Usually I just was the gopher, but I was comfortable around woodworking. I had repped a line called Harden Cherry at a McConnellsville, New York, and it was like being in furniture heaven.
Hmm.
The inside of the drawers, the back of the furniture was finished better than anything I had in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to seeing all these different rare and exotic woods.
So that's your background in learning the trait of picking out a good fine wood. And I know that some of the woods may not even be as great of wood, but they're historically valued.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So anyway, go ahead, though. I'm sorry, but that's your background in learning about how and what wood to use.
It's interesting about the wood because of the cellular structure that it has. Some will be soft and some will be hard. But to use it in a golf club, it has to, most of everything will have to be stabilized.
Mm-hmm.
So it's put into a vat.
A vat of a type of liquid or just a drying vat?
No, they'll put it into a vat.
Okay.
And then they'll take all the, well, I've lost what I'm trying to say about the a vacuum pump.
Okay.
And then when they take all that out, they'll infuse it with hydraulically with fiberglass material, so forth.
So how long does it take? I'm sure you have to somewhat be fitted for this. You have some choices to make. Looking through here, there was some collegiate type designs I could put on my putter. There's, I mean, these.
Hey, Matt, there's a cross on that one. That's the prayer putter.
Well, that's right.
We got that 30-footer. Yeah, you bring out the Jesus putter.
That's what Stone had the other day. I was wondering why you were on your knees putting.
That's right.
He had his Jesus putter out. He was praying that thing would go in.
I call that the preacher putter.
Yeah.
And that is made from, it's been interesting about the wood. That is made from olive wood that someone on a earlier trip years ago went to the Holy Lands, and they will bring back these little pieces of olive wood.
Yeah, I only
need about a piece that's about 2 inches tall and 4 inches wide, so I can slice it off what they brought.
Really?
And get it stabilized, and then I can construct them up. I've made putters out of the Duke basketball floor, people's granddaddy's old barns.
You are kidding me.
That's really neat. So there's a story behind these. I mean, first of all, they're functional. Let's go ahead and talk about that.
I had to be a functional putter. Mm-hmm. I had two friends that were I've known forever, and they're single-digit handicappers. And mm-hmm. so I said, I'm going to make these things, but I want to make a functional art piece.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's, I don't want to just do the same one over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So the high handicappers from the beginning loved them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I would send these putters to my friends, and they would call me back and say, Lee, they're real pretty, but I take my game a little more seriously than that.
Right, right.
So, you know, finally I hit on the correct face, hardness, how I put the weights in, and so forth, and the loft and the lie. And they said, okay, now you have a product that I'll play with.
Hmm.
And so we've stuck with that design. They all have to be a mallet style because I need the area or the volume inside to put the weight.
Gotcha.
So I can't make a blade putter, but anything you can, you design it from the woods to, you know, what you want on the engraved on the bottom, the top, on the face. It's just, you know.
Okay, well, we've talked about the head of the putter. Let's talk about the grip and the shaft a little bit. It looks like you have this Gripmaster.
Gripmaster is a high-end grip company.
Mm-hmm.
And they make what's commonly known as the best grips in America, as far as being they make them out of lizard, sea snake, kangaroo.
Wow!
In different things.
So kind of an exotic grip for a more high end. A more non traditional putter.
Well, people use them every day.
That's awesome.
But it's just instead of getting if somebody. In everything, people want something a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
and something that nobody else has.
Make my grip out of a Jack Russell.
I don't know. Matt has Jack Russell at home. It's on its 22nd life.
That's
like
right.
A cat. But,
one of the things that we like to do on this is their highest end grip is made out of Stingray.
Mm-hmm.
And in showing these to people and so forth, a lot of people collect swords.
Mm-hmm.
And all historically, the Chinese and so forth, they have used the Stingray on the grip for their swords, just as far as time can tell, because it wicks away the water and it lasts so. But
so what is this one I'm holding
here? That's a stingray.
That is the stingray.
That is the stingray, yes.
Wow.
And it comes in about five.
And that's stingray skin.
Yes, sir.
Or I guess skin, right? Yeah.
Correct. But, you know, they have kangaroo or eel or sea snakes and deer, Montana leather, Beretta leather, and this.
So do you have some that are pre-made that are for purchase immediately, or is everything that you do custom to the needs of the individual?
Everything's custom. It takes about 3.5 to 4 weeks. The problem with working with wood is every wood is different,
mm-hmm.
and then it moves, and when you do something to it, it affects it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to sit and stabilize again.
Yeah.
And then when you put the resin epoxy in, it needs to dry for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, you just can't work on it continuously. You have to do something.
Well, no, it's funny you say that. Last night I was a gentleman named John Stanton, lives in my neighborhood. He makes bowls, dishes, mm-hmm. Thing like, you know, out of wood, all of this being built out of wood. And he was telling me last night, because he doesn't have some of the, you know, obviously your products are going to be a little higher end. He's out of a basement kind of doing this stuff. But he puts them in a bag and has to dry them for at least 4 weeks.
Correct.
Because of splitting. The wood will actually warp 90% of the time, but also split.
Well, it's so full of moisture.
Right. And he said, so what he does is he gets it to within, I want to say, 2 centimeters of where he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Dries it so it won't split, and then he has to go in and reshape it before the final, not tarnish, I'm sorry, what it...
Well, it'll move. It'll
yeah, and so then he has to go reshape it again. It's not a one-time deal. It's a because once that drying point happens, that warping begins, and then once it settles after that month. So I would think, even if you ordered a custom, you're talking about at least a month by the time the wood's ready, done, you know.
Well, we have a lot of wood.
Okay.
And people give us wood. They have wood. I've collected wood, and I use a lot of wood that's already stabilized that I have on hand. And so it just depends on what somebody wants. A lot of times, if you said, hey, I've got a piece of wood from my granddaddy's old barn or a factory that my grandfather used to work in, that they tore down,
that is so
then
neat.
It would take me at least 3 weeks to get that wood ready to start the manufacturing.
To even put it, that's what I never understood, you know, when I was talking to him. It's not like you take it, throw it on a spinner. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about.
On a lathe.
On a lathe, thank you, and begin to cut. I mean, the wood, the preparation is the key to the to it actually holding up over time.
Yes, but in which, so therefore, we are working on many at the same time.
Right.
And multiple putters and and so forth.
Right. Well, what's the, I mean, I guess you work across the U.S., is that correct?
Well, we just started the first of the year.
Oh, okay,
and
great.
We got a shop and got everybody together.
Okay.
And I said, okay, here's how I've been making them in my basement.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
So let's go through every step.
Right.
And let's improve.
Hey, I wonder if the guys in the tent heard that, Stone, that you can actually start a business in 2011.
And it's, go out and help people.
I know.
They pay you.
I know. I wonder if we make tents out of wood. No, I'm just kidding. But, well, that's great, and congratulations, because I know it's a tough time to do that, and it takes a pretty bold person to step out right now and do that, and I'm proud of you for that.
Well, thank you. We're trying to have fun.
So as you reach out to those people, you're beginning to build an audience that that knows how and where to go about doing this. I mean, is this is there a guy in every neighborhood, or is there one in every state? I mean, what does the world look like competition-wise to you?
There is... only one person in the United States that I've found that's been doing this for any length of time since I've started doing it.
Wow.
And he doesn't quite, he just uses the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And he will laminate some woods together and uses a strike face as wood.
Really?
Which I find unacceptable. I wanted to do a little bit higher end.
Well, to be able to use the club, it doesn't sound like that club would be very
well, it would.
Consistent.
It is not as consistent, and it will dent, and
really,
and so forth. But you know, I think he's got some valid points. But I wanted a more functional
take it
art
next level.
Piece. And this is nothing new. I mean, from the start of time, you could take the Indians. There was somebody who made arrows and became a good chipper, and and once he did proficient at that, then they started decorating it. And so this is all this is that we take a putter. They're normally sold as women buy them for gifts.
Oh, really?
For their husband or somebody. And what happens is for about every 3.7, about my best of my math, that you get one out, somebody will call you back and say, I played golf with my buddy so-and-so, and I want one.
It's very, very viral. Once somebody hears about it, they want one, and they want one.
But it's a gift item that's functional. We have a plaque that you can put it up on the wall. So if somebody needs to give it as an award, you know, for a birthday, your Father's Day, we're believing that Christmas and Father's Day would be our
sure. I mean, you could even sell it on the corporate side with an employee that won an accomplishment.
We've
instead of giving him a trophy, give him a putter. And in the top, what he does is, again, you can't see the pictures, but he insets. Like one has an Auburn inset, and on the bottom, one of them says "Custom made for Jason Bluffton," I think.
Buston,
yeah, and it's for an accomplishment with so. For any corporate people who are out there listening, and again, I don't know if we want to talk about price point or, you know, so they would know if that hurts somebody's feelings.
They're very labor
intensive. Yeah, how much does it cost?
Yeah, how much was that thing?
They're very labor intensive, and we start at $5.99.
Okay.
And they come with a high end grip, and they also come with a leather head cover.
Okay.
And it's a completely custom made.
I mean, that's your average driver cost. I mean, a driver these days is anywhere from $4.99 to
$5.99. I mean, an Odyssey putter is $350, one of the hot series.
You
there,
just bought one, actually, didn't you, Matt?
I won it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He did. Matt and I actually won a tournament out at the Georgia, and I forgot about
that's
that.
That's right. I won that putter.
I found that most people that win these tournaments, either they cheat or they're very poor at math.
That's right.
He cheats, and I'm poor at math.
I wrote down the first hole. Matt wrote down the second hole. I don't know. It just came
I just
up.
Met y'all, so that's I'm right. sure that's not the case. I'm sure y'all have talent.
That's right. That's right. So, well, very, very cool. Now, So let me go back to that question I asked you, because I pulled you away from it. I shouldn't have. You do work nationally, as you said, and only having maybe a handful, one you know and maybe one or two that might be in a basement goofing around in a small town somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's no one really doing this. So, you know, as people begin to see this, you're wanting to get that word out there. Are you looking for any alliances? Is anybody listens? Like, would if somebody out there knew somebody, you know, at PGA you know, that would be probably too big right now. But what are you looking for in a relationship, if anyone out there has one that they could refer back into the radio station?
Well, that's hard to say. Are you asking me what my business plan is?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Where are you looking to go with it? What's your future look like?
What I have to resist doing is growing too fast, because mm-hmm. it is a craft.
Correct.
And I have taken me about 8 months now to take this from just doing it strictly by myself mm-hmm. to I have a team of about five people. Mm-hmm. There's a couple others that come in on, and we go through every step of the process, and they become proficient at it. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things is very labor intensive on sanding. Mm-hmm. And so I was worried can I find somebody that will be happy sanding these things. Mm-hmm. And as we come down from the different steps, the wood just comes alive. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that drew me to it. Mm-hmm. And it all looks like just a tree or a board. Mm-hmm. And then when you start doing things to it and working with it and sanding it, it gets character.
Right.
And it's really beautiful. I did find somebody who was thrilled to see it come alive in their hands. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to grow too fast so that it'll hurt the quality of my product.
Sure.
So my plan is that I've aligned myself with Gripmaster,
okay,
because they're recognized as the best, mm-hmm. And I'm showing with them in their booth at the upcoming PGA show in Orlando.
Really?
Yes.
In Orlando, okay.
And coming up, I've never been.
Okay.
I've been to furniture markets all my life, but
right,
I've never
right.
been to the golf show.
Right.
And so I'm hoping to put a display in 25 to 30 of the high-end golf clubs,
okay,
courses around America. And so when somebody comes in, whether that be Hawaii, instead of buying a golf ball or something to commemorate their trip, mm-hmm. Maybe they can buy a putter.
Mm-hmm.
And
have the name of the course. Or I tell you what, when I hit a hole-in-one, Matt had better have one of these putters ready for me.
I'll have it ready. You just have to hit it with the putter.
That's yeah, I've got to hit
a little putt
185-yard putt.
Well, you got to think about it. I mean, every round of golf you play, you'll always use the putter. You might not use your 5-wood. You might not use your 3-iron. It's the piece that's always coming out of the bag. And I think you guys are on to something. That it's a great gift to give to the putting enthusiast. It's a great thing to give to somebody who has achieved something, whether it's a anniversary or a significant birthday, or really this any kind of golf enthusiast would really. I mean, I get to play maybe 5 or 6 times a year, and these are just really neat. Now,
well, thank you.
I see some things in here, some collegiate stamps. This one says U.S. Coast Guard. Is there any licensing issues that?
Well, there is, We're trying to get our collegiate licensing, so you know I can't offer anything like that for sale.
Yeah, sure. I'd have friends in Nashville try to do that for a product line they wanted to run, and it's mm-hmm. It's definitely a few hoops and some
there
checks.
Is.
You
we're
have to
we're
write.
Working on that now.
You're saying traps.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Several years ago, I had lunch with the gentleman, and he suggested to me to just use the colors of the wood.
Sure.
Now, all these woods that are colored, that's dyed curly maple.
Hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that is a rich red. He's got kind of an American, all-American type putter here. It's a blue base with stars in the face where you'd actually strike the ball, and then a red and white stripe, and the red is just like, you said it's a maple.
It's curly maple that's okay. Stabilized and dyed.
And now, are those specific cuts that you have put together?
It's laminations, yes, sir.
It is. Okay, yes, very cool. Very cool.
Yes, and just to give you an idea, what we'll do is we'll take a board and route out this area.
Okay.
And then the white is inserted into it.
Oh,
and
very
woodworking
cool.
is, when you look at something, is all woodworking is a matter of deduction.
Right.
And so everything was bigger and it shrinks down and you take away from it to get different things.
And then he's got another one here. And again, I can't explain to you. You've got to go see this. It's a tuxedo putter. He's got three dots, which would actually align you to the ball, which is fantastic. And then on the, and that's on the top as you look down at the putter, and the face is a bow tie. So that it looks like a tuxedo. So
that's the James Bond putter.
And the 007.
Well, we look at him and say, well, what does this look like to you? And my fellow said, it looks like a tuxedo. I said, okay, well, we'll put a bow tie in that. And so it's fun. I have one that, you know, I tell people we can put anything, and we've embedded in one a can of Kool-Aid.
No way.
So, you know, you put anything you want.
That's crazy.
So we like to... is doing something. I didn't want to do the same thing over and over and over.
Right.
And so what we've taken basically is we've taken a mallet style putter that we perfected to be very highly functional. And like I said, we've given it the weight that most people like. We can change the weight if you want it, and given it a 1.5 loft. And you design it. You tell me what woods.
And if you want it inset or out, or, I mean...
Whatever you want.
So what would a person do if they were out of state? They would maybe go by their local pro shop, have them kind of fit them to a face and a length and a...
Just
then send the specs to you, and you build it to spec, right?
Well, usually I ask people, and people have multiple putters, or what do you like? And, you know, basically they tell me how much they want it to weigh, or tell me a putter that they like the weight of, and then I'll find out what it weighs. How long do you want the shaft? Do you want a straight shaft, or you want a double bend shaft? And we'll cut it to that size.
Because most of the putters now are heavier putters, right?
They've gone.
The industry's gone to a heavier putter like this. I use an old Arnold Palmer, and it weighs not the original Palmer, you know, just the kind of a hollow back. And I mean, it weighs nothing. And I'm actually moving to something like this. So yeah, his putters are definitely current to the industry for sure.
Well, they have to be functional, and then we just dress them up to what everybody has something that they're proud of. A lot of the men who receive these and women receive them also, but they've done something. They're people that have accomplished something that they wouldn't normally talk about.
Right.
And so, you know, they engrave it, their spouse or their friend or whatever. It's given to them as an award that they can play with. That's something that you wouldn't normally boast of.
And what better place to tell a story than on the golf course, right? I mean, that's where the stories get better.
Real cute story.
That's where they grow.
It was a couple of years ago, a lady said, I want my two grandchildren to have this. So she told her daughter that, okay, you're giving your grandchildren one of Lee Thomas's putters. And so... for Christmas, they called me to see what they wanted engraved on them. And so I said, you can put anything you want. Well, the young lady said, really, is that a fact? She said, I want engraved on the bottom of my putter, I love you, always loved you the most, which apparently was a family joke between her and her brother.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Christmas morning came, the putters were there, they opened them up, and the young man opened his putter and said, how nice. The young lady opened her putter and said, oh, Mom, I always knew it. And the mother said, knew what? She said, that you loved me the most. She said, that's not true. She said, it's got to be true. It's engraved right on this putter.
It's engraved on a putter.
Yeah. Oh, so people have fun with them. And it's an honor to make them. It's fun to work with these gentlemen that helped me with them. And we have a good time, but we want to continuously to strive to make the best product that we can. And to be the heirloom, and
right.
Most people say, you know, I was didn't want to. They're too pretty to putt with, but I finally took it out and played with it. And honestly, though, if the difference in a putter is practice, if you have something that's going to be functional, that's a tool that meets the specifications, you could, if you practice with it enough, you could get a Coca-Cola bottle and put a broomstick on it, and you would be proficient at it.
Yeah.
But I think people want to be good using this putter, so they practice with it a little bit more.
Right.
And so I'm not saying, I've done everything I can to make them.
Well, you're supposed to make them perfect. Everything falls with these, right? You guarantee it?
I'm not.
Money back guarantee?
If you're not happy with them, we'll give you money back.
Happy doesn't mean all the putts can win.
But every day we strive to do better and be better. And the main thing is that to give someone a functional work of art that the giver and the person who receives it is proud of it.
Well, these are definitely that. They are amazing. Again, if we want to learn more about it, is it a phone call? Is it a website?
It's a website or a phone call.
Okay.
Sadly enough, to get one, it requires a phone call or two.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of people say, well, put this on it. And
hey, you're buying a Picasso. You know, Picasso didn't sell stuff without talking to somebody, right?
So look on the website, get an idea of what we do show, try to show on the website, is that, you know, we can, if you have an idea, we can probably do it.
Yeah. And guys, I'm telling you, you can't see the 25 pictures, and he's, again, got just a brochure. It's a you dream it up concept. Now, I'm sure if you gave him an idea, he could come up with it too, but it's amazing what he's got here. I mean, he's inlaying stuff into it. He's, you know, not embroidering, etching names, words, pictures, putting what looks to be like coins. Again, if you can dream it up, he can do it. So
we try, and it's interesting. It's always a challenge. And mm-hmm. The last thing I wanted to do was just to find a product and just put them out the same thing. So
right.
It keeps it interesting, using different woods and so forth and different techniques.
Okay. So again, before you give me that contact info, I got to ask you one more question. Have you made any long putters yet? Have you tried to tackle that chest putter? You know, the long putters that come up.
We have. We have, and that's a little bit. It's the same putter,
mm-hmm.
but you have to use the, depending upon what shaft you use, you mm-hmm. have to put it, you know, drill the hole for the shaft hole a little bit differently.
Yeah, I was going to say, because these you would actually drill at an angle, and I think a long putter is more of a direct, you know, you would go more up and
could
down
be either
with the
one.
Drill. Really?
We like to use the double bend putter shaft. We started using that because it was simple, because you drill the hole mm-hmm. 90 degrees into it. So,
right.
and then
can't mess up the drill.
Hard to. We can't. We do. It's hard, harder to.
Try your best to. But
then we made a jig that, you know, that puts the, for a straight shaft, that goes in at a 17.5 degree angle.
Okay.
And, you know, it's that's okay.
That's standard, I guess.
That's standard.
Yeah.
And
that's what you're going to buy if you walk into a PGA store and buy a shaft. You're
going to
get a 17. Okay.
You know, it's real interesting, and I've talked to people that do this in the business, and most of the putters that you buy today will have anywhere between a 3.5 and a 2.5 degree loft to them.
Okay.
And so I was talking to one of the pros over in my area in Woodstock, and I went down and said, you know, double check myself. I want to see mm-hmm. what the loft and the lie is on this putter. And so the loft was 1.5, and I said, well, I was kind of going for 1.5, maybe mm-hmm. not more than 2.
Mm-hmm.
He said, keep it just like it is. He said, you have no idea the new putters that I get every day. I'm changing them down to this.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you're ahead of your time there.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's just lucky.
Yeah, right. You'd rather be lucky than good. Hey, me and the putter, that tell you.
But it's nice that somebody that's supposed to know what's going on will
right.
validify what you've done.
Well, I challenge everyone out there today, Matt, to go online to get a brochure.
Yeah, you definitely got to see these to get a feel for. They're really, really something special.
Yeah, they are. And, again, why don't you give us that web address again, if you will.
LeeThomasStudios.com, or you could call us at 877-796-3966.
Okay, 877-796-3966. Again, that's Lee Thomas Studios. When you call in, should they ask for anybody, or just call in, tell them what they're looking to do, and they'll get routed to the correct customer service representative?
If anybody answers the phone, they ought to know what they're talking about.
Okay, great, great.
Fair enough.
And then again, just you know, I'm sure if you Google Lee Thomas too, you'll see him there. And again, the great woodworker from Woodstock,
mm-hmm,
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what a great show! I knew this one was going to be fun. Just sitting here, my mouth's watering, and looking forward to Christmas for Matthew Gardner this year.
Yes, so. Sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yeah,
hey, thank you so much. And as always, we love challenging Matt Gardner to bring us something today that is going to make social media or the internet more special to us. So, Matt, I'm going to throw that over to you for the Yepser Internet Strategy moment.
The moment today, and I'll just basically reiterate a conversation I had with somebody yesterday. They came to me and they said, look, do you think my product or service, do you think I need to be on Facebook? You know, I don't really understand how it works. I'm not there much. I hear a lot about it. Does my product need to be there? And my response to him made a lot of sense, and at least to him, because this person wasn't very Facebook savvy. My response was, well, when you show your product to people, do they tend to share your idea with others? And he's like, oh, gosh, yes. Anytime I ever show my stuff to this to anybody, they always go tell somebody else about it. And I said, well, there you go. That's the answer. If you can feel good about showing your stuff to somebody else, and then they would be excited to show it to the people that they know, then yes, your product will be successful. If the answer is no, that's okay. I mean, there's some industries, there's some services, there's some products that people don't want to talk about. They're private in nature, or they're a necessary evil as far as the business goes, whatever the case may be. And the answer is maybe not to go out there, because people aren't going to want to share that with other people. So that's the social media tip of the day. If you've got a product, you've got a service that people are willing to endorse by showing it to their friends in real life, then Facebook would work very well for your business. So, Stone, what do you think? We leave here and then head out to the back nine. What do you think?
I like that. I'm inspired. I think I've got a couple of folks on my Christmas list. I want to explore this idea. We have some golfers in our family. I'm not really one of them. I usually drive the beer cart.
But then you'll be on Danny's team. Right. Me and Lee will be in the other car.
That's great, man.
Yeah, yeah. We'll let you buy first round then. That's
fair
okay.
Enough.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So what a great show. Again, one of my favorites so far. And again, that moment was sponsored by Yepser Internet Strategy. Look us up online at yepser.com, Yepser.com, and check out some of our clients, what we're doing for them, and our team, because that's what makes that company special. So, Matt, another fantastic show.
Lee, did you have one more thing?
Yeah,
I would say that my golf game with my slice has made me an excellent Easter egg hunter.
There you go. Perfect.
And I'm not alone. A lot of people hit them in the woods right where I do.
Yeah, I think that's why I like Alpharetta so much, because everything plays to the right.
Everything plays to the
everything goes the right way.
It's kind of like the opposite of a NASCAR race.
That's right. I would be horrible if I had to hit a ball around a NASCAR.
You'd just go in reverse.
Yeah, I would. I'd dodge cars and hit the other way.
So. Well, again, we appreciate Lee being on the show today. Stone, we like the new digs here. Looking good. Sorry it took us a minute to find it, but now we know where we are. We're feeling good about it. And as always, Atlanta, you don't know anything, Atlanta, until you've listened to Everything Atlanta. Every Tuesday at noon, right here on Business Radio X.